This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we are on our annual retreat in Claremont, California.
That's right. Actually, we're not cooking anything, although you did cook breakfast this morning.
Good for me.
Yeah, good for you. But we are sitting here. Wait a minute. What is this called? Is this the quad?
Yep. This is Marston Quad of Pomona College, one of my two alma maters.
Yes. So yeah, last year we did a walk down memory lane, my memory lane in Oklahoma City. This year, I guess for your memory lanes, it was like a cross between Portland, which we've already been to together, and it is a lot of people's memory lanes.
True, or, like anyone who's watched that show.
Exactly. Or coming here to Claremont, where we've had a very SoCal experience. I hate it when people do, like, NorCal, SoCal.
San Fran.
Yeah, oh my God, that makes me Frisco.
Chi-town. Wow. We got a nickname for every town. What's Oklahoma City's nickname?
It's Okay,
so I was nervous coming here that it would provoke, like, paralyzing waves of nostalgia that would leave me unable to function.
Were you really? Or are you just saying that?
Well, I mean, I am. I'm like hyping it up for the purposes of drama, because this show is all about the dramatic arc.
Yeah, we like to turn it up to 11.
Yeah, no, but it turns out, like, I don't feel much connection to this college anymore, despite having spent 2.5 years here and then dropping out.
And it's been interesting hearing more about your dropout story, which we're going to go into in a minute, Matthew.
Yeah, I
hope you're
just,
ready for
just
some
before this
brutal
recording
honesty.
It seems that Twyla Tharp also dropped out of this college.
And John Cage.
So all like the three of us really are like we've made something of ourselves despite dropping out of this college.
Yes.
All equally.
I mean, yeah, they didn't have podcasts, so.
Well, I mean, John Cage's podcast. You see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Very quiet.
Yeah, but short.
Anyway, can we go down memory lane? Can you walk us through, you know, what you thought you were going to find here and what it was like when you arrived and some of, like, you know, salient moments in your history at Pomona College?
Okay, so I arrived here in the fall of 1993.
Okay.
I was on the day I turned 18.
Oh, yes.
And
so that would have been August 28th.
August 28th, 1993. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like if you picture Southern California and then also picture, like, a stereotypical small liberal arts college, that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
The wind rustles through the willow trees. You can hear it.
What?
There's gonna be a lot of wind on the recording.
There are mission style roofs.
Yep.
There are a lot of succulents, palm trees.
Molly is obsessed with
really
the plants.
Into
okay.
The trees.
So when my
Birds
parents used to come visit me when I was going to school here, my dad would not stop talking about the plants and how beautiful the plants are and how they're so different from the plants in the Northwest. And, like, this was something that I couldn't have given less of a fuck about. And then Molly started doing the same thing.
I started doing it on the drive in from the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, it was immediate. I turned into Richard Amster.
Right. And then at one point I was like, hey, look at that tree. That tree, that's such a cool tree. And you and Abby were like, that is like the most regular tree.
I know. It was totally just a normal, like, deciduous tree with no leaves on it.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of conflict over plants. Are they good or bad?
No, we're gonna get to that.
Okay.
But first, okay, memory lane. You came here in 1993.
Right. I don't know. What else do you want to know? Like.
Well, so, okay, you met Lori here.
Yeah.
Which,
but
Watzel.
Not till the following year.
Okay. Is there anything we should know about your freshman year?
You
were in a band.
I was in a band.
You formed
like,
a band.
The band didn't really get off the ground kind of until fall of my sophomore year, but we met and, like, got together and started practicing, like, spring, I think.
So was this band always, it was called Flax.
Yes, it was actually originally called June, and then we learned that there was another band called June, and so we changed it to Flax.
These are the most limp dick band names I've ever heard.
No, June is a terrible name.
But even Flax, it's like...
You're just going to let that go.
I can't deal with it. You got this is a like a hippie seed that people grind up and put in baked goods.
And people did that to us.
And like, why did you guys choose this name?
So when we decided that we had to change the name, even though we probably didn't because we never got big enough that some other band would have actually cared that we had the same name, we had a really hard time coming up with a new name. Naming a band is hard, and we didn't do a very good job.
Okay.
But once I got into that band, you know, something happened within me, and I decided that like becoming a rock star was going to be my thing. And, like, I held on to that dream much longer than it deserved.
And this is something I didn't know about you until this weekend. I mean, I've heard you mention being in bands, and I knew that you met Lori sort of around the time you were in a band. But I didn't understand the degree to which you thought that, like, your thing in your life was that you were going to be a musician in a band.
Yes, I really, and the reason... that didn't happen is like mostly because very few people get to do that and make it their career, but also because I wasn't really willing to put in the work that it would have taken.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. I mean, I think you're hard on yourself. But...
yeah. But I mean, like, you know, and I don't know if any listeners care about any of this stuff, but like, I loved like being on stage and playing songs and liked practice, like going to band practice, and hated like everything else about being in a band. Like, it involved a lot of making plans, like trying to get the band booked, which like... usually fell to me, and I have never liked being in charge of making plans. Setting up and breaking down equipment is one of my least favorite things in the world.
Okay, hold on here.
Yeah.
So, okay, I first learned about, or I got my first like picture of what the Claremont colleges were like.
Yeah.
Through reading your YA novel, Our Secret Better Lives,
which is available
wherever books are sold.
But mostly on Amazon.
Okay. Anyway, it is a story set on a fictional campus called Atwood College, right? But which is quite faithfully based on the Claremont Colleges.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it would sound cool in the book if the college was in Los Angeles proper, so I moved where the campus was geographically within Southern California, but kept the campus geography the same.
Okay. And I also knew from reading Hungry Monkey... I think that was where I learned about your meeting Lori and about your assessment of like how hot she was and sort of like just what you two were to each other in those early days. And so anyway, we were talking about this the first night that we were here on the trip, and Matthew, you know, of course, was texting with Lori about it. And then Lori sent us a long email in which she recounts her side of your early days. Matthew, do you want to start it out? Do you want to tell us how you and Lori met?
Yes. Okay. So it wasn't just like one single event for me, but like we were playing a show behind the library on the lawn, which is not a very good place for a show. We walked over there and checked out like the scene of the crime, but it's just a grassy quad behind the main library. So my band was playing there for some reason, and she was in the audience. And I was the lead singer.
And was she like throwing herself at you or getting up close to the stage and like wearing a low cut shirt and angling herself so you could see down her shirt or anything?
No, none of these things.
This is disappointing. Okay, well, can I read her side
of
the story?
Please do.
Okay. The first thing I want to say
is... it's our classic he said, she said segment.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is that when producer Abby and I read this email... I think Abby put it best. Abby was like, I want Lori to write a romance novel.
Yeah, and
I
me
think
too.
If at the end of this episode any of our listeners feel that way, I think that we should start like a, you know, a letter writing campaign to Watzel.
Okay. You know,
because that's how people get things done.
Let's give out our email address.
Letter writing campaign. All right, here we go. Okay. This is Watzel's letter. I may skip around a little bit. When I started my first year at Scripps, August 1994, you'll note that Watzel is a year younger than Matthew.
Right.
I was living in a first-year hallway in Grace Hall, and besides my roommate, the first two people I got to be friends with were Sarah and Molly, who lived down the hall from mm-hmm. us. Different Molly.
Different Molly.
Not me. Molly already knew her way around Claremont because her boyfriend Ryan was a sophomore at Pomona, and she had come to visit him a couple times the previous year. So that first week at college, before classes started, Molly rounded up a bunch of people from our hall saying, my boyfriend who goes to Pomona is in a band, and they're playing this afternoon. You should come. This sounds like a really great YA novel. I'm into this.
Sure, yeah.
Sarah and I and some other people from our hall went along. The band was four Pomona guys.
You yes. can
guess who one of the four was. Playing on the lawn outside Honnold Library.
I feel like I should give a shout out to all the guys, like the part in the song where, like, near the end of the show where, like, they're jamming and, like, the singer says, you know, on guitar, Ryan Thompson. On bass, Brian Fry. On drums, Pirapong Tantam Jarek.
Those were the
people in the band.
Those yeah. were the accompanying sounds of their instruments.
Oh yeah, thank you.
You know how you get to do like a little guitar solo when they
oh,
say
of course,
your name?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, getting back to what Lori said. Right. I think there was some kind of outdoor event, a run or something that their show coincided with. They played some original songs and one cover that I knew, Begin the Begin by R.E.M. I've always been a real sucker for guys who like R.E.M.
Yeah, that's fair.
Matthew was the lead singer. So I noticed him. Hmm. Lori put asterisks around noticed. So I noticed him that day, but he was the lead singer in a band, and I was just some freshman. After that, our paths crossed occasionally. When Monster came out that fall, I know we both bought it at Rhino Records separately.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Rhino Records in a little bit.
Once, when Ryan was over and I was trying to get anyone who would listen to dive deep into the lyrics of What's the Frequency, Kenneth, with me, Ryan said, you know who you should talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't pursue it because I was a little shy and also very busy with college life. Okay, hold on. We're going to skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, skip the whole part about Steve because, like, fuck Steve.
Yeah, Lori was, she phrases it as, we got together a few times. We would hang out with this guy, Steve.
That was Steve.
This
yeah,
was Steve.
To be fair, at this time, like, I was occasionally hanging out. Well, I went on a couple dates with Sarah, who I, like, a couple years ago ran into in an airport, and we, like, had a nice conversation and never even alluded to the fact that we went on a couple of dates.
Okay. All right, here we go. Now we're fast-forwarding to January mm-hmm. 1995. I started casually wandering down to Pomona with Molly to hang out with her and Ryan, which she did a lot.
Still a different Molly.
And sometimes when we were hanging out in Ryan's room, Matthew would wander in from his room next door.
Oh, that I remember very well.
We would talk a little. I started to realize that maybe I should break things off with Steve.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Because I was way more into this other guy I occasionally exchanged a few words with than the other guy I was kind of going out with.
May I interrupt here? Because I just remembered a detail. Like, first of all, do you think any of our listeners care about this? I'm worried that they're going to be like, this is the last thing we wanted to hear about.
No, okay. I'm going to zoom back. I'm going to zoom ahead. We're almost getting
okay,
to the...
Okay, but I do remember at one point, like, wandering over to Ryan's room when it was just Ryan was hanging out and asking, I believe in pretty much exactly these words, like, if I liked Lori, Molly's friend, would that be bad? And Ryan's like, I don't care. It's like, you don't need my permission.
This next paragraph feels extremely relatable to me. Some nights I would go to the computer lab and send emails to my high school friends. So one night I also emailed Ryan. This is Molly, other Molly's boyfriend. I don't remember what I emailed him about. And I very casually slipped in a question about an R.E.M. song and even more casually CC'd Matthew on the email. This seems so relatable.
Yeah.
He wrote back! Exclamation point. I wrote back. Occasionally we saw each other in person and would blush and stammer and then go back to our respective computer labs to bang out emails showing how smart we were.
Yeah. It's the saddest version of going back somewhere to bang I've ever heard.
Oh my God, I love this. Okay. On Saturday night, February 11th, I love the specificity of this.
Oh, I remember this.
Molly invited me to come along to meet Ryan and some friends at the Coop for shakes. She also hinted that Matthew was coming. We sat at a big table with friends and occasionally caught each other's eye and blushed and smiled. The next morning, February 12th, I woke up and went to the computer closet in my dorm.
Computer closet.
And I found what I was hoping for, which was a long email from Matthew toward the very end. He said he'd been working on this email for a long time. In fact, he had been in the middle of writing it when we went out to the coop the night before.
Oh.
And wanted to tell me that, quote, I have a serious crush on you.
Nice.
Well, I didn't recognize exactly what I was feeling, but I think at the time it was one of the happiest moments of my life.
Oh.
I remember a lot of things about the rest of that Sunday involving Rhino Records, the Pomona Computer Lab, and Matthew's dorm room. But since this is already really long, I'll just say that I knew by the end of the day, on Sunday, February 12th, 1995, that that was it. We were all in forever and everything. I just knew.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No, no, no.
In the world.
You no? don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
So, and for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on Masterclass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on Masterclass.
Yeah, well, Masterclass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Okay, Matthew.
Yeah.
All right, that was great. But now I want to hear about
my side of the story. This is all lies.
No, let's skip ahead. I have always thought of you as the most risk-averse person I know.
I think that's pretty much true.
Maybe second to myself.
Yeah.
Okay? You dropped out of college.
Yeah, and moved to Seattle.
Halfway through your junior year and moved to Seattle. And, when I asked you why you dropped out of college, you just said, Lori and I didn't really see the point of going to college.
I think probably she would describe it differently, but like I wasn't like I hated the weather here. I was not really interested in going to class and was like, I remember I think that fall I had this experience.
I just find all of this shocking, Matthew. Like it would have never occurred to me to just be like, I don't like going to class. I'm going to drop out.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I had this experience.
You were so devil may care.
I think that fall that I was in an African literature class, and I had not done any of the reading and was, like, called up to be on, like, the panel that had to discuss the reading and just, like, fucking died up
there. Had you not done any of the reading because you and Lori were reading each other's emails, so to speak?
No, I mean, that didn't help, certainly, but I think she was getting her homework done fine. I just did not care.
So just to reiterate, you dropped out in like January of your junior year. It was January of Lori's sophomore year. How did her parents not come like string you up?
Oh, I think they wanted to, but I think they like looked at the situation and was like, you know, there isn't any intervention we can make that's not going to make things even worse.
So then
they weren't happy about it. My parents weren't happy about it.
And then to make things even weirder, you guys then went and got married 2 months later, because as everyone knows, there is nothing more like rock star than getting married when you're 21.
Yeah, I like looking back at this like 25 years later, is that right?
Did you guys get married in 95?
96. So, okay. But like the whole thing started like over 25 years ago. None of it makes any sense. Like, if we have younger listeners, don't do any of the things I did. It would be a terrible idea.
But you guys are happily married.
Yeah, but
how
like,
have you won? Okay. How have you managed?
We were all in.
I thought I was all in, but how can you know you're all in when you're 20?
You can't. Like, just luck, you know, like most, exactly like you said, like most people who did the same thing would not end up together and would probably regret it.
Okay.
We just work really well for each other.
Do you have any memories of places you had sex on campus?
only our respective dorm rooms. And mostly mine because Lori had a roommate.
Did you ever make out on this quad?
I don't think so, but it's possible.
Did you ever...
I'm sure you have lots of questions, but like the answer to all of them is going to be the most boring possible answer.
Oh, God. Okay.
I should start making some stuff up, right?
Okay. All right. So...
It's an improv-based show.
So here's what I want to say. So yesterday, Matthew led me and Abby on a walking tour of campus.
Yeah.
And that was when I more fully metamorphosed into a dad, specifically probably your dad. I wanted to know a lot about the history of these colleges, which
I looked it up and had some information.
Yeah. I wanted to know a lot about the local industry.
You asked, like, what are the local industries around here? And, like, basically every question Molly asked, the phrase that immediately popped into mind was, I don't fucking know.
Well, here's what's weird. Like, you know, I haven't been back to my college campus for years. I think I've been back once since I graduated. I don't remember it being this quiet.
It's so quiet.
And I don't remember, like, the surrounding neighborhoods being this quiet.
Well, okay, so we've only been here on the weekend, and I think things will be a little more lively on campus, like, tomorrow. But I don't know. It's there's not a lot of students on an entire campus. There's a lot, you know?
It's really quiet here.
It's pretty spacious, and it's like, I don't know, 1,600 students or something. We went to the library, and Molly and Abby they got me to talk to the person at the information desk to ask if we could find old issues of the campus newspaper that might have my column in them. Thank God we didn't find that.
Mm-hmm. Matthew also said that the stacks, if you walked out into the stacks, which were in the center of the library is really lovely.
It's nice.
The library in my college felt much like darker and more beige. This was very like light and bright, and it felt really nice in there. But anyway, the stacks were in the middle of the room, and Matthew kind of walked out onto the stacks, and you were like, there used to be like a rumor that people
were having sex in the stacks. This rumor still exists
because the floor kind of wobbles. Well, I walked out there, and it's seriously so wobbly and so noisy and like creepy.
But that's
nobody
what makes,
would have sex on
of
that
Of course
thing.
Nobody's having sex in the library, but that's what makes it a good rumor.
Okay.
So there are a bunch of campus rumors, and like I didn't realize until later that the two of the most popular rumors on campus are like rumors that you hear on many, many hundreds of college campuses.
Okay.
Namely, one of them was that when they built the bookstore, or in some colleges it's the library, they didn't account for the weight of the books when they designed the building.
It seems likely.
It's going to collapse someday because of the weight of those books.
Yeah.
Very plausible.
Yeah.
And then the other one is that the reason there's a pool on campus is because many years ago a student drowned and their parents endowed a pool at the school so people could learn to swim and not suffer the same fate. Don't think that's true either.
Hmm.
So we've also been like hanging out in the surrounding community. We went to the Claremont Village, which is the shopping area just outside the colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And when we keep saying the colleges, like it's a consortium of five colleges that all kind of work together,
mm-hmm.
but all maintain their own identities that people guard very selfishly, as you might expect.
We went to a cheese shop. We went to Rhino Records. For those of you who have read Our Secret Better Lives, this is what Rhombus Records was based on.
Rhino Records has barely changed at all. I don't think they have listening stations anymore, and I don't know if they do in-stores. There didn't seem to be a place for like in-store performances, and they have more vinyl. But other than that, it was pretty much exactly the same. And while we were in the store, they put on one of my favorite obscure 90s indie albums, and I was just in heaven. It was the Geraldine Fibbers Lost Somewhere Between the Earth and My Home. Great album. 1994, I think. I don't know. Yeah. And then
we went to the yogurt place.
Oh, we went to the yogurt place. Flavors. 21 Choices.
21 Choices.
Yes. Which has gone in more of a like marble slab
yeah.
direction than I remember, but yeah. it was good.
Here is one thing that has been perplexing.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to find a place to go out and have a cocktail. Like trying to find a bar that is not like in a like a mall.
Right.
Like the first night we tried to go to a place that was kind of like a faux industrial, open, weird space, too brightly lit. Then we went to an awesome place. We were like, okay, well, the good bars are probably going to be in Pomona.
Right. So, I mean, the issue here is that Claremont is a very wealthy city, and that's like the worst place to go if you're trying to find a bar.
So we had to cross over to the correct side of the tracks,
right.
which was Pomona. We went to the back door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It was fantastic. Then last night we went to the Cove, which was in West Covina.
Yes.
That was pretty sweet.
Yes, Abby and I really, really wanted to go to West Covina because we're fans of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and West Covina did not disappoint.
That bar was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Both times we had female bartenders who were definitely like taking no shit.
Yeah.
And I just loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I wondered what it would be like to be them.
Yeah, so what, I mean, I know we have other topics we need to cover, but like what have we learned from this trip that would be useful
God,
to people?
I have learned like, that you are just an absolute anti-establishmentarian. Wait, anti?
I'm an absolute anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Wait a minute. That's
I'm a pneumono ultramicrospopic silica volcaniconiosis.
June learned that recently. Pneumono ultramicroscopic silico volcanoconiosis.
I loved learning that word when I was a kid. I thought it was so cool.
I never learned it as a kid. Anyway,
yeah. All right,
okay.
So
you are a rebel without a cause.
Yeah. No, or like too many causes, maybe.
Maybe. I also just had no idea that you had always expected to be a rock star. I also had no idea, like, I was such a rule follower as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it never occurred to me that you could drop out of college and be successful.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I
mean, look at what a success you are.
I did go back to college. And the thing is, like, I have gotten to a point in my life where I've been spending way more time than is healthy, like, feeling like I wish I had, like, got to know what it was like to be a rock star. But
is
like,
this because you're approaching that magical age when like everything seems like your life
yeah on average
is hopeless?
Like age 47.
Okay.
But I mean we host a successful we're like
we are like
get paid
famous
to do comedy
to the few people who like, listen to this show.
The thing what we're doing with the show like has got to be so much more satisfying than being a rock star because, like, there's so much less equipment to set up.
That's true. That's
the main thing.
Yes.
We watched an erotic thriller.
Oh, my God, yes. Okay. And we're probably going
to
have an exciting announcement soon.
I hope so. I really hope so, too.
But
which,
last night...
Which is that we're starring in an erotic thriller. And
that's really what we were down here for. It's a campus thriller.
I have a no nudity clause in my contract, but Molly has no such thing.
Oh, my God, I got my breasts enlarged just for this.
Just this morning.
They're definitely leaking some fluids.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but
I thought you just like went with the magical thinking.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, but last night, as is now our tradition on our corporate retreats, we watched an erotic thriller. We watched Wild Things.
Yep.
Which has a star-studded cast.
Yeah, really. Like big stars like Denise Richards and
Neve Campbell, Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
Bill Murray. Robert Wagner
is in it. Yeah, Teresa Russell.
Who was Teresa
the
Russell?
The mom.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very bad movie that we enjoyed very much.
What else do we have to say here?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Coop Fountain because, like, there's always the question of, you know, if you revisit, like, something that you used to love, like,
yeah.
can it ever be the same? And the answer is probably not. But when I was here, we always used to, like, go, like, late nights or sometimes afternoons to the Coop Fountain and get quesadillas and milkshakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, the snack counter, lunch counter at the Student Union.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, right after I left here, they rebuilt the Student Union into, like, this beautiful, like, massive edifice that we called the Coop Mahal. But that was, like, after my time, so I'd never really seen it, and it's pretty striking.
It's really beautiful.
The old place was kind of a dump, but we did go to the Coop Fountain. The quesadillas and milkshakes were not as I remembered them, but were good.
So, I enjoyed the quesadilla.
Oh, yeah, no,
the milkshake was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I was stunned by how small it was.
Yeah.
And like there, where else?
The Coop itself or the Coop Fountain?
The Coop Fountain.
I think you're underestimating just how few people there are on campus.
I can't get it through my head.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not that big a campus, but like 1600 kids, most of whom are like in their rooms, like fingering each other or studying at most times. It's just not very many people.
We have seen a really good proportion of the students that we have seen, a good proportion of them are skateboarding.
Yeah.
I feel like is what I came here for.
Right. And they, I don't know what we were expecting exactly, but the students, we are absolutely invisible to them.
Oh my God. Usually when I walk down the street, I at least, I'm kind of terrible about staring. Like I really stare at people. I don't mean to. But usually they look at me back at some point and I'm invisible here. I'm old.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think what crime we could be committing right in the middle of this quad and everybody would just walk by
Do you think if we started
podcasting
filming our
license?
Erotic campus thriller? Oh God, now I'm giving away all the secrets about our erotic campus thriller.
Oh no, it's okay. Let this be the teaser trailer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So what's it going to be called?
It's going to be called something
something
carnal
with carnal college.
Quad.
Carnal quad.
Yes.
Is it going to be a supernatural erotic thriller? That's a subgenre, I think.
I feel like that's, but then we still have to work in, are they at Hogwarts?
Yeah, it's a movie about.
Because now we're adding too many elements. The supernatural, college campus, erotic scenes, and some sort of element of danger or crime.
I think these things could all easily all fit into one movie.
Okay. Where's the supernatural here for you?
Oh, I was just thinking there's an enchantment in the quad that makes people overcome with uncontrollable desire when they step into the quad. That's
Does it make
too
them
simple.
Invisible too? So maybe there are tons of people fucking out on the quad right now and we can't see them.
Oh, that's sad.
That seems upsetting, doesn't it?
Again, I'm missing out on the orgy. Yeah. Why does this keep happening to me?
I know. There is a couple lying behind us, and look, she's got her leg on his head.
Okay.
Seems like a weird sex move.
It does.
She's
really does.
Pinning him down.
Yeah, we should go interview them.
We should.
A thing I noticed one time when I went to San Francisco to do a reported story a few years ago, which it went really well actually, but I haven't done that since. I brought the recorder and microphone and went and interviewed people on the street. And if you have a little recorder and a microphone with a clown nose on it,
people think
you're a reporter and they'll stop and talk to you.
What would you want to ask those kids over there?
What do you call that position, I guess?
Yeah. Or hey, I don't know. I'm just so inappropriate.
Let's hear it. What were you going
to say? I don't know. I just wanted to be so how do you guys do it?
Yeah.
Because I had sex a total of six times in college.
Did you make actual bedpost notches? Because they're going to bill you for that at the end of the semester. Believe me, I know.
Well, I think two of the times were in some guy's apartment off campus.
Oh yeah, that doesn't
count. And then four, or maybe it was more eight of the times were in Paris.
Yeah, no, I think
I came back to campus and it was real dry after that.
Mm.
So anyway, but I just, I wonder are kids today more adventurous? Or are they?
Well, I mean,
are they really into consent?
I hope so.
I hope so too. But are they? What is sex to them? What did these guys do last night?
Yeah, I mean, we could pretend that we're sex researchers. What are they going to make us produce a license?
What are you going to say your name is?
Oh, Doctor. All that came to mind was Dr. Marty McFly.
I was gonna say that my name is.
Wow, this better be good.
It was gonna work better if I were a man.
That's fine.
Because I was gonna say Mr. Bader.
Mr.
Sorry, God. This show is canceled.
All right. Okay. So tune in next week when we debut, when our erotic thriller makes its debut on the big screen at Cannes.
The big screen.
And we win the Palm d'Or, which is also a sex move.
I don't know. I mean, everybody.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
SpilledMilkPodcast.com, Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast. Like, where do you think we should go next? Like, we've now decided that our thing is when we do our annual retreat, first of all, we're going to tell you about it in excruciating detail that you did not ask for. And secondly, we want to go somewhere as boring as possible.
Although, we've talked about some places that would
we might
go
to Detroit.
I also don't understand why we aren't talking about going to producer Abby's memory lane, which would take us to Budapest.
That's
right.
True. We should really do that. I think that's how you should do. Budapest.
Thank you. I'm trying mm-hmm. to be authentic.
That's really like central to your brand is authenticity.
It really is.
Mine too.
Yeah.
All right. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
I'm Mr. Bader.
And I'm Dr. McFly, endocrinologist.
What?
I don't think
is there some sort of specialty within endocrinology that's like McFly endocrinology?
No, I just
what is that?
Like I figured if I really wanted to like develop the character, I need to know like what kind of doctor I am. And that seems like people don't really know what that is. So I think if you say you're an endocrinologist, it sounds impressive and they're not going to ask you too many questions that you can't answer because you're not a real doctor.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is if someone says they're an endocrinologist, that means they're a fake doctor trying to pass themselves off as a doctor to ask people weird sex questions. Okay. That's just a fact. Like
that's the experience I've had the couple times I've gone to an endocrinologist.
There you go.
They're like, so what'd you do last night?
Glandularly speaking.
Okay.
All right, bye.
I'm trying to find something funny to say.
You don't have to.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.